Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. And on this week's show, we have some highlights from the recent CSUN conference.
That was the 27th Annual International Technology and Persons with Disabilities Conference, organized by the Center on Disabilities at California State University, Northridge, which explains why everybody refers to it as the CSUN Conference. We'll be talking with four people who went there and let them tell you what they found out that's new and exciting at the conference. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Ron Miller from Freedom Scientific.
Access technology is cool, and all of us like it, and all of us want it. I want a talking thing. I want a Braille display. I want my computer to have a screen reader or a magnification app or, you know, OCR application. I want all that. But wanting all that doesn't necessarily mean the things I want are exactly right for the job I want to do.
Well, I agree with Ron, and we're certainly kind of geeky folks ourselves, and we enjoy technology and looking at all the new gadgets and solutions that people come up with. And CSUN is a great place for that because there's lots of vendors showing off their new products, new technologies. But you do have to find the right combination of tools and gadgets that work for you. Not everything works for everybody, and not every tool is the right solution for the job you need to do.
But as you'll hear from Ron and everybody else we spoke with about the conference, there were so many different novel technologies displayed there that pretty much anybody was guaranteed of being able to find something that would work for them, and some really exciting new technologies that haven't been introduced to the public yet.
Yeah, this was a fun conference. You'll certainly hear that.
Turning now to our low-tech item, let's meet the attendees we spoke with. We'll start with Brian McDonald.
Brian McDonald, President, National Braille Press in Boston.
Brian is sighted, but the other people we spoke with have various visual impairments, which we'll ask them to describe as well.
I'm Jonathan Mosen, and I'm Vice President of Blindness Hardware Product Management at Freedom Scientific. I'm based in New Zealand, but work for Freedom Scientific in Florida. I'm totally blind.
And what was the cause of that?
It's a condition called Norrie's syndrome. It's an X-linked genetic condition.
And you've been blind since birth then, or?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And attended schools for the blind and?
Yes, initially, and then went to a mainstream, what we call intermediate school in New Zealand, and high school after that, and then on to university.
Jonathan, although he has a very responsible position at Freedom Scientific on accessibility technology, didn't actually start there, and he had an interesting path to get there.
Well, I worked in broadcasting for a while and then diverged into government relations work. I ultimately became the chairman of the Blindness Agency in New Zealand and started ACB Radio. And as a result of my work on ACB Radio, which I founded in 1999, eventually I got approached by HumanWare and took over the blindness product lines there, and then moved to Freedom Scientific in 2006. So it's been an interesting journey.
Well, Jonathan, as he mentioned, was involved in radio and in fact still is on the side. He actually started a new radio streaming service called Mushroom Radio. And that's because, as he describes it, they're the fun guys. And it's a bunch of people around the world who have gotten together to do some live internet radio streaming. And if you go to their site, mushroomfm.com, you can learn a little bit about their station, listen to it, and actually become a participant. They have directions there and documentation, and they're willing to help others to get involved also and be part of the fun guys.
So if you ever get tired of listening to us, you can listen to them. The next person we spoke with was Ron Miller, from whom we got the tip of the week.
My name is Ron Miller, and I am the Blindness Hardware Product Manager with Freedom Scientific. And Pete and Nancy, it is great to be with you guys tonight and sort of by extension with everybody else who might listen to this.
So I gather from this story that you're visually impaired yourself?
I'm totally blind, yes.
And what's the cause of that?
Retinopathy of prematurity. I had to remember, I kept wanting to say RLF, which of course has fallen out of use. It changes from decade to decade. I was born 2.5 months premature.
So you were blind from birth then?
Yes, I was. I had a little bit of vision when I was very young, just in my right eye. I could count fingers about 6 feet away. So I've got memory of seeing stuff and colors and those sorts of things. But all of my memories are sort of 1960s vintage. For all intents and purposes, I had, from about age 6 or 7 on, I had, you know, light perception and shadows, and that's decreased over the years. And now I'm down to basically nothing unless I get into very bright sunlight.
We had a great conversation with Ron as part of this interview. He is really an avid Braille reader and a real proponent of learning Braille.
And the final person we spoke with was Victor Tsaran.
I'm Victor Tsaran. I work for Yahoo as a senior accessibility program manager. That's my daily job. I also work on JSONAR project. And JSONAR is a set of JAWS scripts that make it possible for a blind user musician to interface with Cakewalk sonar recording software for Windows. And we are at jsonar.org. I lost my sight when I was 5. I think it was a result of glaucoma. That's at least the official version, so I have no sight at all.
And Victor's put together those JSONAR scripts as a volunteer effort. This is a community thing that many contributors around the world have added their code and documentation to, so that everybody can share these scripts and use them for sonar. In fact, I've worked with Vic on improving some of the scripts also, and that's been a lot of fun.
And in fact, we're using sonar right now to record this show.
You are listening to Viewpoint.
This week's focus topic is an overview of what's new and exciting from the CSUN 2012 conference. There was so much great information that we got from these people that we're splitting it between two shows. So if you like what you're hearing this week, come back next week in show number 1212, and you'll hear even more of what's new and exciting from the CSUN conference. From the website of the Center on Disabilities at California State University Northridge, which are the people who organized this conference, here's how they describe the conference. For 26 years, the Center on Disabilities, through the International Conference on Assistive Technology and Persons with Disabilities, has provided an inclusive setting for researchers, practitioners, exhibitors, end users, speakers, and other participants to share knowledge and best practices in the field of assistive technology. Known as a forum that showcases cutting-edge technology and practical solutions that can be utilized to remove the barriers that prevent the full participation of persons with disabilities in educational, workplace, and social settings, the conference is the largest of its kind in the world. There were about 5,000 attendees, 127 exhibitors, and if that didn't keep you busy all week, there were interactive events, both in person and also via Twitter and other social media. So here's Victor Tsaran's overview of the conference.
You just came back from the CSUN conference, right?
Yep, just came back from the CSUN 2012 conference that took place in San Diego from February 27th through March 3rd.
So for folks who don't know about what CSUN is, can you give us an overview?
CSUN is probably the largest technology conference for people with disabilities. It is an international conference, so people from different countries come to attend it. And on average, at least within the last couple of years, there was about 4,000 participants coming. So it's a pretty big conference, and it covers technology for people with visual disabilities, physical disabilities, deaf people, so pretty good spectrum there. It's literally difficult to be at everything and see everything. It's way too big for one person, so you have to kind of pick and choose.
It's kind of amazing that they cram that conference into just a few days. Many conferences and exhibits that are that large will often last a lot longer. I think, as one of the people we interviewed point out, this is sort of like the consumer electronics for accessibility, where all the vendors, all the developers get together and they network and they discuss ideas and they have presentations. And as Victor said, you can't possibly get to see the entire thing in just a couple of days. People come back quite exhausted from it.
And as Pete just said, most of the major technology and access companies had a presence at the conference.
Obviously, we have seen familiar faces in the accessibility field, such as Freedom Scientific, GW Micro, talking about their screen readers. Certain companies have been very present this year in particular, like Google, Adobe, Microsoft. And for me personally, this was probably a highlight to see the Microsoft's work on Windows 8, specifically on tablets and touch interfaces and their built-in screen reader that's going to come with Windows 8. That was interesting to see where Microsoft was going with this. Obviously, it seems like they're targeting, at least trying to compete with Apple's VoiceOver on the Mac as well as on the iOS. We've seen some interesting sessions from Google where they educated the audience about accessibility of their applications, such as Google Docs, Google Chrome Vox, which is the plugin that enables a self-talking interface for Chrome browser. And also that, I don't know if you, listeners are familiar with Chromebook, which is the notebook computer that runs the Chromium operating system. So ChromeVox is what makes the Chromebook talk.
I was quite encouraged to hear that a lot of the major vendors like Microsoft, Google, and Apple were there. These aren't the people you traditionally think of in terms of access technology, but it's great to see these other vendors show up because there really seems to be some kind of competition for making their products accessible. Apple and their products that use VoiceOver have been very accessible to the visually impaired, and it's great to see that Microsoft is trying to compete with that and make their products more accessible, as is Google.
We'll be focusing on Windows 8 and its accessibility features in the high-tech segment, so stay tuned. We'll get there. Here are some of the exciting things that Brian McDonald saw. He starts out by referring to HIMSS, that's the Human Information Management System, which is headquartered in South Korea, and he's talking about their new note taker that they call the BrailleSense U2, but he just refers to it as the U2.
I have to give credit to HIMSS. I think the U2 is a nice package, the new 32 cell that they came out with. It has a lot of the features that we're talking about with our B2G. It has 32 gigabytes of internal storage also, and I think it's a pretty well-designed product. I think they make pretty nice products, their line. And they were really talking about iOS, Bluetoothing and the challenges in some of those areas for pairing, but also how note takers are still relevant. And that was good. It was a good session. I met with IBM, and I went to the Google Accessibility Forum, which was really well attended, and that was really important because Google is working with us, directly on our Android work, and they gave a great presentation on how all of their areas, including like Google Docs and Chrome and of course Android, are being really committed to by their teams now to make it very accessible. So that was what we had hoped on when we chose Android about a year and a half ago, and we've been doing a lot of that on our own in the meantime, but I really feel good about where they're headed too. So that was, I think, the important thing that I saw.
Yeah, that looked a little dubious in the beginning, some of the accessibility of Google and Android and stuff, but I guess they've come a long way.
They have, and I think future versions will show that for sure. Ice Cream Sandwich is getting much better for those that have got a chance to test it out a little bit, the version 4.0, and future versions look very promising as well. So, yeah, we work with them well and are excited to be partners with them, and I really feel confident about their future.
So Brian referred to the B2G that the National Braille Press is working on and developing right now. And just to give you a little preview, he'll be talking in more detail about that product that they're developing in next week's show. But basically, it's a portable, low-cost note taker with many smartphone capabilities. And you'll enjoy hearing about that. It's really a slick device.
Now, Brian also mentioned Ice Cream Sandwich, and Victor Tsaran had some more thoughts about that and about where Google may be headed.
Google looked and showed people the advancements with their touch interfaces. Ice Cream Sandwich is the first release of Android operating system that offers people a touch exploration and web browsing support. There are still kinks to resolve, but it's a really good step forward. And my feeling is that in 2012, we will see a lot of competition among these three, Apple, Microsoft, and Google, which obviously is a great thing for blind and disabled consumers in general, because now we'll have actually more choices.
I think Google still has a little bit of way to go with their operating system and their accessibility features, but they're getting pretty close to the accessibility of some of the Apple devices. In fact, Nancy and I went into a Verizon store to check out an Android phone, an iPhone, a couple of weeks ago, and it was very interesting. They were both very accessible. We did note that the speech recognition seemed to be a little bit better on the iPhone, but it may have been the conditions that we were under at the time.
Well, and to me, what was most impressive was that, you know, we walked into the Verizon store, we got some random salesperson who, you know, his focus clearly wasn't on the accessibility of the devices, but he, in both cases, was very easily and quickly able to get to the accessibility features in both the iPhone and the Android phone and was able to show them to us. And that's really promising, you know, that you don't have to dig around and hunt to find the accessibility features.
Yeah, they've come a long way. They're really making both smartphones and now the new tablets a lot more accessible for visually impaired folks.
Given all of that, Victor still does see some room for improvement with the Android.
All in all, my biggest complaint, if anything, about Android is that when you get an iOS device, all the Apple apps that come pre-installed, like Maps, Calendar, Mail, they are made accessible to the best effort possible. In fact, I would say almost 99% of everything that's built in is accessible. Not so is the case with Android, which is, I think, what many users will find frustrating, is that you will have to go to Marketplace and actually look for accessible alternatives to some of the built-in apps. So I think that would be the biggest drawback to Android right now.
And after talking to a lot of people and looking at some of these devices a little bit ourselves, I think that's right. I mean, I think what Victor's saying is either system can be accessible. The Apple system is a little bit more accessible right out of the box with a little less clunky. On the other hand, the Android system is an open architecture system, so there are a lot more developers making applications for it. And if you have a little bit more of a techie bent to you, you might enjoy playing around with that, but it may take a little bit more work to get things as usable.
Moving on, in addition to all of the vendors describing their new products and services, there were also a number of people presenting novel research, which we can hope to see incorporated into future products. Did you go to any of the sessions where there were researchers from universities talking about things? I saw, you know, a couple that caught my eye on the schedule.
Yes, yeah. Specifically, the ones that interested me are the ones that had to do with building navigation for blind people inside buildings. There were also some research on making maps accessible for the blind. Specifically, SAS, they presented their prototype of how you could make a floor plan of any building accessible to blind people. So you could actually drag your finger on the touch screen and it would tell you the relationship between different conference rooms and different parts of the building. So that was kind of cool. There was another interesting research from the Kettle Smith Institute in San Francisco on making video descriptions available on request, on demand. So if you're watching a certain TV show, they build something that supposedly could make it possible for you to request video descriptions for the show you're watching. That was kind of interesting.
Are they using speech recognition, or is this done by kind of social computing?
Yeah, I think it's something like a crowdsource effort, but they just enable people to deliver video descriptions.
Victor referred to two different organizations. The first one was SAS, that used to stand for their famous statistical analysis package, which was called Statistical Analysis System, but it's the same company, and now their name is just SAS. And if you want more information on that, you can go to www.sas.com. And the other organization that he referenced was the Smith Kettlewell Eye Research Institute in San Francisco, and their web address is www.ski.org for Smith Kettlewell Institute.
I thought that was pretty funny talking to Victor, that the company that Nancy and I as scientists knew for making statistical analysis packages in the 70s had morphed into a company now doing these mapping and location type activities.
Well, if you go to their website, you'll see that they're all parts of the same bigger picture. They're into data analysis and data display. And so this accessibility aspect where they're talking about tactile bar graphs and whatnot, that's just one more way that they see of displaying data.
I guess it kind of fits.
So in addition to all of the exciting research and products that people were showing, the CSUN conference was also an opportunity for people to get together with their colleagues from around the world. And as Jonathan Mosen describes, they found some pretty interesting ways of facilitating these interactions.
CSUN is a good opportunity to network, and so I find it great to meet people who listen to FSCast, for instance, because we have so many thousands of people who download that every month, and so it's good to do that. And also the social networking, which I know we're going to move on to, social networking has played a big part in CSUN this year, because you've got people who are using Twitter, who are all linked together through the hashtag from Twitter, the CSUN12 hashtag. So even people who are not following one another on Twitter can see each other's CSUN-related tweets. And often that means that you might meet up with people that you wouldn't otherwise meet up with. There was a live event, which is known as a tweet up, where all of the people who use Twitter are invited to meet one another in person at CSUN. So then there are other networks too, like Heytel, which is a voice-based network that works on iOS and Android. And there was a Heytel public relay, which was in operation for CSUN, which allows people to talk with one another by voice. It's kind of like a ham radio repeater in a way. And everyone can hear one another and arrange to get together or just pass on useful tidbits of information. So that is the modern CSUN, you know. There's all sorts of a social network back channel going on.
Boy, it is amazing how the world has changed and how people are networking and communicating with each other in this high-tech world.
Why, even we have started to tweet. And every week when we post a new episode of Viewpoints, we tweet about it at our Twitter feed, which is Viewpoints Plus.
Now, Jonathan also mentioned FSCast. And that is a podcast that he does monthly for Freedom Scientific. And you might want to go to the Freedom Scientific website, www.freedomscientific.com, and look for the links to the FSCast. He really does a very interesting show. And we'll be talking later this year with Jonathan about social media and the various types of social media and how to use them with a screen reader and how to use them effectively.
Now for this week's high-tech item. As you might know, Microsoft is working on the next version of Windows, which will be Windows 8. In fact, they recently released a beta version to the public, and we have a link to that on our show notes, but trust me, you don't want me to read it. It's about 3 lines long. One feature of Windows 8 is that it will be able to work on tablet computers. And from the Microsoft website, they say it's Windows reimagined and reinvented from a solid core of Windows 7 speed and reliability. It's an all-new touch interface. It's a new Windows for new devices, and it's your chance to be one of the first to try it out. But they do go on to mention later on the page that it can also be used from the keyboard, so there's still some hope for the visually impaired community.
I can't imagine having to learn a new operating system yet again, just as you get comfortable with the old one. But that's the way it goes when technology keeps advancing, I guess.
Oh man, I have long since lost track of how many operating systems I've felt coerced into learning.
I'm sure it will be great.
We're going to love it.
So Victor had an opportunity to play around with Windows 8 on some of the tablet computers that were being shown at CSUN. It sounded like you were a little surprised Microsoft had such a big presence there. Did you get to play with any of their Windows 8 tablet interfaces and see how usable they are?
I actually did, and it was really cool to see the commitment on Microsoft's part. They have brought some engineers and designers from the Windows 8 team, and they were actually interacting with users, asking questions and writing down. They were noting a lot of things that people were saying. So I did have a chance to play with the tablet, and I think they have definitely done a lot of good work In fact, Windows 8 Consumer Preview was released a couple of days ago during the CSUN at the conference. And so it looks like a very promising interface. They still have lots of things to figure out, such as there's just too many gestures, I think, for users to learn. And that's one of the comments they've got from a lot of users. Just make it simple. Don't overcomplicate it. My wife actually helped me to, well, she looked at the magnification software. She wasn't all too impressed. You know, she found it less intuitive than the one on the iOS. But again, it's, I'm sure every user will have their own opinion about it, but it was kind of cool. So it does come with built-in magnifier, built-in screen reader. There also is a built-in on-screen keyboard. So if you use user of a single switch and you need to target certain keys on the keyboard, they made it available to those users as a default, one of the default configuration options that comes with Windows 8.
So although Microsoft is going to have a screen reader in their new Windows 8, presumably it'll be a lot better than Narrator, which barely works as a screen reader at all. It certainly will not give you as much functionality as some of today's modern commercial screen readers. And Freedom Scientific is not going to leave us in the lurch there. And of course, they're working for supporting Windows 8 with JAWS.
And here's Jonathan Mosen from Freedom Scientific to talk about it.
Did you guys introduce anything else at CSUN or show anything else?
We did demonstrate an early build of JAWS 14 working with Windows 8, and there's a lot of interest in that. Windows 8 represents quite a bit of a paradigm shift in a number of ways. You've got the new kind of applications that are coming out and new ways of talking to the operating system. So there was a lot of interest in the presentation that we did where we showed that off.
So I guess you'll be able to use it one way or the other.
I guess you will. Well, Freedom Scientific always keeps up with those things.
If any of that piqued your interest and you want more details about what happened at the conference, we'll have the conference's home webpage on the show notes. You can either just Google CSUN 2012 or go to the university's page, and there's a link there that you can find. So if you start at www.csun.edu/COD, that should get you fairly quickly and easily to the conference page. And you can see the names of all of the talks that were given and a list of all of the exhibitors and even get a brief description of most of that. If you missed any of the links we gave above, they're all going to be in our show notes, which you can find at our website, www.viewpointsplus.net. That's it for show 1211.
On next week's show, we'll be discussing some more highlights from the CSUN 2012 conference. There was just too much information to put all in one show. And we'll hear some more from some of the people we talked with today. So join us then.
If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy in partnership with WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.